The grace of our Lord
Jesus Christ be with you all. This is a great time of the year, your time of celebration for Christians, coming of our Lord. A few announcements. Audrey took a spill on Friday, so she's got a black eye, and Bernie suggested she go and have it checked out, so she's having it checked out. She's not going to be with us this morning. I was going to tell you on Friday, Bernie and Audrey went to the Corollaires concert, and afterwards they got into this big fight and Bernie slugged her. That's why she's got a black eye. But it's not true. She took a spill. So we will be praying for Audrey this morning. But Bernie reminded me that the Corollaires are singing this afternoon at 2 o'clock at Our Savior's. If you want to take that in, it didn't get into the bulletin last week or this week. I'm still learning Wayne's system of how to do things. Bernie also said that the Corollaires had a good tribute to Wayne on Friday evening at their concert, so we expect that they'll probably do that this afternoon as well. Continuing the announcements, just a reminder, if you want to do bell ringing for the Salvation Army, you go to their website and you sign up for the time that you want to do that. I haven't noticed one bell ringer person yet. I've noticed the kettles are out in different places, but I haven't noticed a person yet doing it. So I'm beginning to wonder if the Salvation Army may be changing their methods. This is their biggest giving opportunity of the year, and so I'm sure they're concerned about continuing to get funds for providing the services that they... Okay. Okay. Good. Good. So it reminds me that bell ringing or not, a good time to give to Salvation Army. Again, this is their time of the year where they get the funds for the rest of the year, basically. This week, the only item we have on the agenda is church council on Wednesday evening. I didn't put the time in, so I'm assuming the time is the same. Just a reminder again that we're having our cleaning done by ERDAC. Your comments, suggestions would be appreciated so that we can help them to understand the kind of job that we would like them to complete. Every time they come now, I just have a good time talking with them. All three of the ladies, the supervisors, and the two girls, I'll call them girls because they're young. I don't know how old they are, but for me, they're young. work at ERDAC. And I've talked with all three of them. All three of them are believers, go to different churches. One is very outspoken about her faith, and I enjoy that very much. The other girl doesn't talk much at all, probably because of her disability, but she's very affirming in her nonverbal language and smiling and shaking her head when I'm talking to her about the Lord. It's just kind of nice, I think, for me to see. I want to mention this before I forget. Next week, Kathy and I will be gone, and you will have, in my estimation, the distinct pleasure of Pastor Dan Treisman visiting. Pastor Dan is very special to me because he is a Messianic Jew and reminds me, and we'll be talking about that a little bit this morning in the message too. It reminds me that in the latter days, in the tribulation time, and I'll say it that way, I believe we're very close to the end times, as many Christian leaders do, that we're only a few years away from God raising up 144,000 witnesses from the nation of Israel, not just Jewish, the word Jew is referring to Judah, one tribe of the nation of Israel, the last tribe that hung on to their godliness a few hundred years after Israel had vacated their belief in God. 144,000 Messianic Jews all over the world, because we don't even know who they are, and many of them don't know who they are. You sitting here might be one of those, or the ancestor, parent, grandparent, great-grandparent, because I would guess most of us here don't know if somewhere back in our history we had a person from the nation of Israel as one of our ancestors. So it's possible that line goes through us. And so I can just see in the tribulation period all over the world these Messianic Jews springing up everywhere, maybe called Finns or Swedes or Scots or Germans or whatever, not even knowing that their heritage goes back to the nation of Israel. It just excites me that God is so great to have a plan like that. And then, of course, our annual Scandinavian Smorgasbord, which is only like 10 days away, 9 days away, something like that, on the 16th. Please plan for that, and remember reservations and cancellations are needed. We need to know how many will be attending. I'd like to read from Isaiah chapter 11 for our call to worship this morning, verses 1 through 5. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, from his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what his eyes see, or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. Amen. The Advent wreath that we've been lighting, we are on our second week. This is the week signifying peace.
This is the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. It began just as the prophet Isaiah had written. Look, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, and he will prepare your way. He is a voice shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord's coming, clear the road for him. The messenger was John the Baptist. He was in the wilderness and preached that people should be baptized to show that they had repented of their sins and turned to God to be forgiven. All of Judea, including all the people of Jerusalem, went out to see and hear John. And when they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River. John announced, "Someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, so much greater that I'm not even worthy to stoop down like a slave and untie the straps of his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit."
The second Advent candle symbolizes preparation and waiting. We light this candle to remind us how the way was prepared for Jesus' coming. We hope that as Advent light increases, our own readiness may also increase. Let us pray. God of the prophets, in the wilderness of Jordan, you sent a messenger to prepare people's hearts for the coming of your Son. Help us to hear the good news, to be truly sorry for our sins, and to be ready to welcome the Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ, into our lives. In his name, amen.
Turn in your hymnals to 120, 120, and if you're able, you can stand. Let's sing, O Come, Emmanuel.
Father, we do welcome and rejoice the sending of your Son, Emmanuel, the Messiah, the Redeemer of the world and our personal Savior, the one whom we follow, love, and adore. And with all of that, it causes us, O Father God, to give you the glory for such a great plan and for such a great sacrifice. We rejoice in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated.
Our first reading is today is from Isaiah 40, verses 1 through 11, on page 551 of your Pew Bible. Oh, is that? Yeah, I can't read my writing, sorry. Okay. Anyway, chapter 40, and it's captioned, Comfort for God's People. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hand hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out, and I said, what shall I cry? All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our Lord stands forever. You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up, do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arms rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. And our second reading is from the first chapter of Mark, concerning the beginning of talking about John the Baptist and his story. And it's verses 1 through 8, and it's on page 764. The beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah, the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert. Prepare the way for the Lord and make straight paths for him. And so John came baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him confessing their sins. And they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Shirley. It's time for us to receive our offering this morning. I remind everyone that as we give unto God, we believe that God speaks to his people. Where did we get that from? It's called the Reformation, when we were reminded by Martin Luther that we are all individual priests unto our God. It may not seem like much in your life or where you're from, but God speaks to us and lets us know what he wants us to do. And if you seek him, he'll let you know. And so we celebrate the time of giving because we are able to give with a joyful heart. Bernie, would you come forward and we'll have a word of prayer? It is with grateful hearts, Lord, that we give to you. Just a portion, just a small amount of what you have given to us. We cannot give to you in any measure, in any way, what you have given to us. And so we celebrate with our gifts, ourselves, our giving of our time, our giving of our words, that you would be honored and that your Son Jesus would be honored as well. Receive these gifts from our joyful hearts, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.
O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. The Lord has promised good to me. His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Let's stand for the doxology. Praise God from
we pray together. Our Father God, first we would come before you, bow our hearts before you to honor you. You are so far above us, so far beyond us. your wisdom, your knowledge, your works, your way, your character, all beyond us, but our goal is to be like you and your Son, Jesus. Our Father, as we come to you, we ask you to forgive our sins daily, as you've taught us to do, for we are just people in need of redemption, in a need of forgiveness. We don't even know the things that we do wrong each day, but you do. And so we ask that you'd forgive us, cleanse us, give us new inspiration, and tune us to listen to your Spirit in our everyday walk. We come to you this morning to ask you to be with Audrey, healing her, blessing her, helping her in her daily life, including walking, giving her wisdom and knowledge of decisions that she may need to make. We thank you for Audrey and for the blessing that she has been to us and will continue to be with us. Father, we also want to thank you for all of our brothers and sisters across the Iron Range who are celebrating this time of Christmas. Some during this time who will come back to church in honor of this Jesus who we are celebrating his birth. We ask during this time, Father, as John the Baptist preached, that you would turn many back to their roots in Jesus, your Son. We thank you also, Father, for all of the believers all over the world. A kingdom that we are a part of, we call the Church of Jesus Christ. We are a part of that huge kingdom that you are building through your Son, Jesus. And we're honored that you have received us as your children and adopted us into your nation of Israel, your people, called by your name. During this time of preparation for what we call Christmas, preparation of celebrating the coming of your Son 2,000 years ago, warm our hearts to you, give us experiences that tune us to you, give us opportunities for excitement and joy. And once again, we ask for our brothers and sisters in our fellowship and attached to our fellowship that you would be with them this Christmas, even in the loss of loved ones in the last several years. Sons, parents, brothers, sisters, people who we care about, who have left. And our hearts are sad for their departure. So help us during this time to find ways to have joy in the midst of sadness, especially in celebrating your Son who has made a difference in our lives, changed our lives, given us eternity to look forward to, given us hope and a future. given us a message that we can share how you have changed our lives. We delight in you and are astounded by your plans all through history and how you have accomplished what no one else could have accomplished in the redemption of people, the opportunity for anyone who wishes to receive Jesus and become sons and daughters of the Most High God. What an incredible work you have accomplished. And so we give you glory and honor, praise and admiration and adoration for who you are and who you are to us. All of this we submit to you in the name of your Son and through your Son, who is our King, our Messiah, our Emmanuel, our Savior, and our friend, Jesus. Amen.
Turn in your hymnals to 127. Let all mortal flesh keep silent.
Printed for you in as an insert into the bulletin the passages that we will be looking at today, and I'm going to try to hustle through them, so I left it for you so that you can check things out afterwards and maybe check me out. For the people of Israel at the time of John the Baptist, it's been 850 years since Elijah. It's been 790 years since the fall of the northern kingdom, Israel, the 10 tribes. It's been 630 years since the last godly king in Judah, who was Josiah. During the prophetic ministries of Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel, he was followed by Jehoiakim, who reigned for 3 months. Those of us who have been studying downstairs remember the Roman leaders. Some of them only lasted 3 months before they were bumped off. Jehoiakim was followed by Jehoiachin, who lasted only 3 months. Both of these, the last kings of the nation of Israel in the tribe of Judah, were evil. And at the end of Jehoiachin's reign, after 3 months, the southern kingdom of Judah fell. It's a long time, 600 years. It's been 400 years for the people of Israel since any prophetic message has been spoken to them. Malachi and Joel would have been the last prophets. The last books written in the Old Testament were Ezra and Nehemiah, not prophetic books necessarily, but historical records of the attempts to rebuild. God has rejected his people. God ended the kingly line of David with Jehoiachin. He gave Jehoiachin that prophetic message. I'm done. It's over. God has rejected the temple in Jerusalem, and as we know, has departed and left Israel. Babylon conquers Israel. 400 years, silence from God. The Medes conquer Babylon. Silence from God. The Persians conquer the Medes and Israel. Silence from God. Arise, John. Unknown, just like you and me. Not a big deal anywhere. Just a person. In Luke chapter 1, verses 13 through 17, it's in your handout. Prophecy comes to Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth. You will have a son. You will name him John. You will have joy and gladness. Many will rejoice at his birth. He will be great in the sight of God. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. He will, pay attention to this word, he will turn back many to the Lord their God. Remember when we talked about repentance? That word means to turn. And that's what he's talking about here. Only in this case, turn back. People who once were or should have been pointed to God, John will turn them back to their God. Prophecy goes on. John will go before him, meaning Jesus, in the spirit and power of Elijah. Let me pause there for a minute. I go, really? John in the spirit and power of Elijah? His life didn't look like Elijah at all. No recorded miracles. No astounding feats. And yet the prophecy is that John would operate in the spirit and power of Elijah. The prophecy goes on. He will turn the hearts of parents to their children. Parents, have you experienced that? Are some of you praying for kids or grandkids so that they will come to know Jesus? Have you found out recently that some of them have come to Jesus? He will turn the hearts of the parents to the children. That, by the way, is a fulfillment of the prophecy from Malachi 4:6 that we looked at last week. It goes on, he will turn back the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous. He will make ready a people prepared for the Lord. We'll come back to those in a second. In John chapter 1, verses 19 through 28, leaders of Israel, priests and Levites, these are the people who are paying attention to the Holy Scriptures, the Old Testament we would call it. The Holy Scriptures have searched the Scriptures, and John now bursts onto the scene and they begin to get curious. Is the Messiah coming? And so they ask him, are you the Messiah? John says, I am not the Messiah. Are you Elijah? John says, I am not Elijah. Third question, are you the prophet who is to come? 400 years we have not heard from God. John says, I am not the prophet. They throw up their hands and walk away. This is not the Elijah to come. This is not the one who is going to pronounce that Messiah is coming. That's their conclusion. What they didn't ask, and in my opinion should have asked, was from Malachi chapter 3 verse 1 that we covered last week. Are you the messenger? Are you the messenger? John's answer, I am a voice. No one special. I don't know why John answered the questions the way that he did, but I do know that he knew he was the voice. And he follows that up in verse 27. I am the voice of he who comes after me. I think if they had asked that question from Malachi chapter 3 verse 1, they may have walked away with a different conclusion. This is the Elijah to come. Was he the prophet? Was he Elijah? We find out later from Jesus himself in Matthew chapter 11. Jesus says John is a prophet, and more than a prophet. And then he quotes from Malachi 3:1. He's the messenger. The question they forgot to ask or didn't know to ask. And then Jesus goes on and says, if you're willing to accept it, if it clicks with you, he is Elijah. And I'm sure some of the priests and Levites and leaders of the nation of Israel were going, I'm not sure about that. I'm not willing to accept it. And then during a transfiguration in Mark chapter 9, he says to the disciples who were there with him at the transfiguration, John is the Elijah. Elijah has come. And then in Luke chapter 7, he refers to John. He is the greatest. There is no one greater than John. Greater than Elijah with all of the miracles. Greater than Moses who delivered the nation of Israel from the hands of Egypt. John the Baptist is greater. And he follows up with something even more astounding. And yet, the least in the kingdom of God is greater than John. John is the greatest in all the Old Testament. And each one of us here is greater than John. Let that sink in. We are greater than John. We are greater than Elijah. How in the world can that be? In John chapter 1, going on from verse 19, John refers to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, when he says, I am a voice of one crying in the wilderness. In John chapter 1, going on, verse 29, John says Messiah's mission is to save the nation of Israel. No. To make Israel great again. No. To raise up Israel so that it can conquer the world, fulfill the prophecies of the Old Testament of God's restoration of Israel. No. John's message is the same message that the angels have already given. Jesus is here, the Messiah is here to take away the sin of the world. It's hard for me sometimes to understand how the priests and the scribes, the Pharisees, not so much the Sadducees, and the Levites who studied this book could have missed it by a mile. John goes on to say in John chapter 1, John the Baptist says in John chapter 1, describing the person of Jesus. He is astounding, great, kingly. Nope. John says he is the Lamb of God. Lowly, just like us. And then in verse 31, one of the most interesting verses from a historical vantage point for me, John gives the reason that he started baptizing people. The reason John baptized is because he had been given a prophecy. when you baptize people, you're going to see the Holy Spirit descend on someone. That someone is the Messiah. And so John began to baptize, waiting for this moment when that prophecy would be fulfilled. Some applications for us. John is the greatest, and we are greater. How can that be? How can that be? Let it sink in. We have Jesus in our life. We have the Holy Spirit in us. The absolute full power of God and the redemption which makes us eternal, living forever. Our witness to the nations, our witness to our friends, our witness to our family. I found Jesus. That's our witness, not theology. I found Jesus at 20 years old, or whatever age it was for you. I heard the good news, and I found him, and he changed my life forever. This should be a time of the year where we just smile all the time. We know Jesus. No, we are not Elijah. No, we are not the prophet. We're just a voice. Just a voice. Just like John. Just a voice. People may ask. We just are a voice. Like John, we admit we're nobody special. Most of us aren't famous outside of perhaps the state of Minnesota, perhaps our own city. Perhaps we're not famous at all. We're just nobodies. With a voice. And yet God says we're greater than Elijah. We're greater than John. Like John, our mission statement, turn many to the Lord. Turn many back to the Lord. I have to admit, the most exciting thing about being a believer is talking to people and giving them a nudge back to the Lord or to the Lord, and to watch their response. Sometimes it's not a good response. That doesn't deter me. It doesn't discourage me, because I know that God takes it from there. Just like the prophecy to John, you go before him. And I found that to be true. I go before Jesus. I demonstrate in my life, or demonstrate in my words, not all the time, admit it, sometimes. And then I leave it and walk away, because I go before Jesus. After I leave something with that person that Jesus can do something with. Our message, Jesus takes away the sin of the world. The second mission, turn hearts. Parents, turn the hearts of your children back to the Lord. Turn the hearts of your grandkids to the Lord. Turn the hearts of your great-grandkids, if you have them, to the Lord. Make being a believer a thread in the life of your family history. Good time to do it at Christmas time. You'll have the opportunity to talk about, we celebrate the birth of this Jesus who changed my life, and he can change yours. A third mission mentioned in these scriptures: turn disobedient friends toward the wisdom of the righteous. This is the wisdom. A fourth mission: make ready a people to meet their God. You know, sometimes that's all we can do, is just impact a person's life, and it seems like it doesn't go any further. Sometimes all we do is just make them ready to meet their God. And then a final mission: show the way of righteousness. Coming to church isn't showing the way of righteousness entirely, but it is a way. We're living in a time that's different from when I grew up, when, at least according to statistics, about 70%, some say 60% of people in America went to church on Sundays. Not true anymore. And when I put on a shirt and tie, and we go out for lunch afterwards, I kind of like it that people see there are still people that go to church. When you walk in these doors, or any doors of the churches, people may be watching, going, what in the world are they doing that for? It's just nonsense, but they watch. Sometimes all we can do is show the way of righteousness. But God can still use that. As I mentioned before, I'm delighted, and I want you to prepare your hearts for next Sunday. We are so blessed to have Pastor Dan in our community, providing services to our community through Jackie's Closet, doing stuff. Some of you have talked to him, I've talked to him. He is just busy all the time. I don't know where he gets the energy. I think back that I had that energy back when. Not anymore. He's helping people move. He is just going for Jesus. He is a blessing to us. And he'll be with you next Sunday and will bless you. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, it's just incredible. Just incredible how you've changed our lives, and in your changing us, created us into new creatures, new beings, that are greater than the greatest prophet of the Old Testament and the great prophet John the Baptist recorded in the New Testament. Great not because we're something special, but great because when you died, sacrificed yourself, and your Father rose you from the dead, you gave to us yourself in the power of the new creation. Just astounding. Hard to grasp
and understand, but you have changed us. You've made us someone new. Help us, Lord, to just get a hold of that for these next few weeks leading up to Christmas, giving us the boldness to share with people you, Father, in your Son Jesus, you changed our lives. Amen.
Let us stand and sing our traditional Swedish covenant Advent hymn, Bereden väg för Herren, Prepare the Way, O Zion, 128.
Turn with one another. Let us sing our blessing to one another.